Begin the current daf, Masechtas Baba Kama, daf Tezvav. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah of the previous daf, and that is the Mishnah is qualifying different halachas relating to halachas of damages. One of the halachas mentioned were v'hanoshim mechla hanezek. The women are included in the halachas regarding damages. So the Gemara's Menachem immediately, where do we know this from, that women are included in the halachas of damages? So Amar Yehuda Merav, he says, and mechein tan de ber bishmol, so too is taught in the Brayis of Yeshiva of Rebbe Shmuel. Amar Kra, the pasuk says in my midbar, Ish a isha, a man or a woman, ki yasu mikol chatois, whoever will do from any of the sins of the Jewish people, which what we see from the pasuk is hishva kasav ish le ish lechol ein shabbatar. The Torah is equating a woman to a man, as it says ish a isha regarding yasu mikol chatois, regarding any punishments that comes from committing a sin in the Torah, which is the source that tells us that women are commanded in all mitzvahs leisa say negative commandments, although regarding positive commandments they're not mitzvah in that it's Sman Gerama, but all Loisa says they're obligated, which is damages, is one of the negative prohibitions in the Torah. That's why there's a penalty for that, which you're not allowed to cause damages. So therefore, we see the source that women are included in the halachas of damages, not allowing to damage, and if they do, being liable. The Beir Belaza Tana was taught in the Baisa of Rebbe Laza, a different source. Pasuk in Shmai says, the Elah HaMishpatim Asher Tasim Lefneim, these are the judgments that you should place in front of them, which sounds like all the Jewish people, which Hishva HaKasav Isha La'ish L'chal Din Shabbatara, that the Torah equates women to men for all judgments in the Torah, again including the halachas of Nizakin of damages. A third source, the Bechizkia, for Be'ezek Lili Tana, Amakra, they bring a Pasuk in Shmai, so the Vehemis Ish Ay Isha, if they will kill a man or a woman, the Torah is equating a man to a woman for all deaths in the Torah. In other words, as Taisa says, that if, let's say, a person's ox kills a man or a woman, we see the liability for causing death for oneself being killed or being liable for kaifer is going to be the same for a woman as it is regarding a man, because that's what the pasuk there is told of Vehemis Isha Isha, not regarding killing the death penalty to a man or woman, but rather the liability for killing someone else is the same whether that other person is a man or a woman. So therefore, we see regarding nizakim, regarding damages, the halacha applies equally for men and women. Now, the Gemara says it's tricky. We needed to have all these three sources to teach us the equivalence of a woman to a man. Because the iash mina kamaisa, had we only said the first source of isha isha kiyasu, which is talking about bringing a carbon when a man or woman commits a sin, maybe I would tell you that the other Torah had mercy, was concerned for the woman that she should be like a man, that she should have an atonement. So we consider a woman equal to a man regarding any sin that she could then have atonement for them by bringing a carbon. Avodinim, regarding judgments, ish the bar masu matin in, regarding judgments in court cases, there we say that a man maybe would be relevant because he's someone that is involved in commerce. Ish alai, but a woman who's not involved in commerce maybe would not have the same halachas as dinin as a man. Therefore, we had to have the second source to say that she's the same thing as a man. V'yashmin and dinin, had we said only the second source of regarding judgments, I would say that the woman should have a livelihood, a sustenance to be able to survive, because if you would say that she doesn't have the same mishpat, the same laws of judgment as a man, then no one would want to have any business dealings with her. Because you don't have the same laws as us. We can't bring you to court. You don't have the same type of monetary law. So maybe that's why we consider a woman equal to a man regarding that. Aval kapara, regarding the first halacha of the first source regarding atonement with a carbon, maybe I would tell you, ish devar mitzvah in, a man, who he's commanded in the whole gamut of mitzvahs, yes, he's someone that's commanded that if he violates a sin, has to bring a carbon. Ish de la bas mitzvah loy, but a woman who doesn't have all the mitzvahs as a man, maybe if she commits a sin, would not be obligated in the carbon. That's why we have to bring both the first and the second sources. Now, v'yash min hanitarti, had we only had these two sources, I would say hacham shum kapar, regarding saying the woman is equivalent to men regarding a carbon, is so that she should have an atonement. The hacham shum chiyus, and here regarding judgments that we say she's the equivalent to a man, is because that she could survive, that people will want to have business dealings with her because she could be involved in the court case just like a man. Avel in ketala, but regarding being killed, I would say maybe isha devar mitzvah, man who he's commanded in all the mitzvahs, there the halacha would be l'shalom kaifer, that then when the ox kills the person by a man is when you have to pay for the inheritors the amount of the value of the person that was killed, because he stopped a man from being able to fulfill mitzvahs, which is the primary purpose of being on this world. But isha loy, but a woman who doesn't have all the mitzvahs like a man, maybe I would say the halacha of kaifer does not apply when the person's ox gores and kills a woman. That's what I have to say, the third source too. Now, v'yashmini kaifer, had we only said the third source of the liability of when one's ox gores and kills a person, that the same thing applies not just to a man but also a woman, I would say mishum de'ika ibn neshama, because since there is a loss of life, he's killing somebody. So therefore, I would say that the Torah has mercy on the woman and makes her equivalent to a man to say you get the same penalty, because ultimately it's a human life, just like a man. Aval hani tarti leke ibn neshama imaloi. But regarding the first two halachas where there's no loss of life, yes, it's going to be hard for her to have a parnasa, and she's not going to have an atonement. But still, maybe I would say that since it's not a loss of life, we don't make the woman equivalent to the man. So for tzricha, that's we have to have all these three sources to say that in all these areas, a woman is going to be equivalent to a man. And again, that's also the source for the halacha of our Mishnah of a nashim mechal nezik. We see that women are included in negative prohibitions and its consequences, which is what damages are, just like a man. Now, then the next terminology the Mishnah says that it ends off hanizik v'hamazik b'tashlumin. The damaged party and the damaging party both have a role in the payment of the damages. So, relating to this phrase of the Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following machlokes amaram. Itma we learned. Palganiska, regarding this halacha that we know that's unique regarding Karen, regarding goring with the horns, something that's mishuna, it's not normal, that we say that it's going to be chatzi nezek the first few times when it's called a tam, what halachic status does it have? So it's machlokes. Rapapa ama memaina. He says that's monetary law. In other words, truth is, according to the basic justice system, the person who is ox gored, even the first time, should pay. In other words, it's by right of the damages, and it's not what's called a knasa penalty. Now, what's the difference if it's a knasa or a mammon? The difference is, if let's say the one who his shor was mazik the first time comes to court and he's maida, he admits to that his ox having done that, and it, before witnesses come, if you say it's knas, then he's going to be pater. But if you say it's mammon, okay, so you admit it, so go ahead and pay up. Therefore, that's the difference. The Rav Papa says it's mammon, and Rav Huna b'Rei Rishu Amar Knas, he says no, it's a penalty. So the Gemara explains the reason for their opinions. Rav Papa Amar Memayna, he says that it's considered monetary law, this chatzi nezik, the half of the damages of the shor tam, is because ksaver he holds stam shvarim lav b'chesker shimakamim. A regular ox is not considered assumed to be self-guarded. In other words, because oxen do crazy things, an animal could go ahead and gore, and you have to protect and you have to watch your animal. And therefore, just like any damages when it does shein or regel, ubedinu debaylish lemikule. Truth is, you should really pay for the older damages. Just like when it eats something or it steps on something, you should be careful. You should know your animal is liable to do such a thing. So too, by Karen Tom, you should be chayef for nezik shalom. Now, but rachmanahu dechasala. But the Torah is easy and lenient on the owner of the shor tam. Because it's still yet, his ox didn't do it a bunch of times yet. It's the first time. Maybe you weren't so weird. It is a little bit different than from the norm than Shane and Regal. So therefore, though really you should pay the whole thing, but the Torah was easy on you the first few times. But what you're paying is rightfully what you're paying, and therefore it's mum and it's not knas. Rav Huna b'Rei Yeshua, he says knas. No, he says that it's a penalty. Because ksava he holds stam shvar mecheska shimakami. Generally, oxen are considered guarded regarding doing irregular acts, like biting or stepping on something to break it. It's not what normally animals do. Truthfully, the first few times, the owner of the ox should not pay anything. But rachmanahu dekanse, the Torah is penalizing the owner, so that he should watch his animal. So although he really shouldn't be liable, the Torah is penalizing him that he should pay for at least for the first few times when it's not normal and not to be expected. That's a knas, and therefore, according to that opinion, if you were maidib knas, you would be pater if Adam didn't come yet and testify regarding the nezik that your shor tam had done. That's the machlokes. Now, the Gemara brings Tanan Amishnah to prove to one of these opinions. We learn in the Mishnah that said, Hanizik v'hamazik b'tashlumin. The damaged party and the damaging party play a role in the payment of the damages. Now, it sounds like that both of them suffer a loss when there's payment for the damages, which, how is the loss? Because the mazik's losing, he has to pay half the damages. The nizik's losing because he's only getting half the damages paid to him, so he's losing the other half. So the Gemara says, Bishlam elaman dama palganizka memayna. That makes sense according to the pin that says that chatzi nezik is mamin. Now, hayne deshayach nizik b'tashlumin, that's where you find that the damaged party plays a role in the payment. In other words, he's really losing what's really coming to him. because he really should be taking all the damages. Because the Mazik, as we said, was negligent in his ox that he didn't watch him, because it's something to be expected. It's, again, although it's a little bit different, but it really should have been Nezik Shalom. So that's where the Nizik's also taking part of the payment by not getting the other half. But according to the opinion that says, it's just a penalty. So ask the Gemara, here, even the half that he's getting is not really coming to him. Even that's not his. So you're saying that the Nizik plays a role in payment of the damages? Which sounds like that as if something that's really coming to him, he's losing. What's he losing? He shouldn't be getting anything. The Chatzin Nizik that he's getting is a gift from Hashem. Even that he shouldn't get. So how are you saying that the Nizik takes a role in Tashlumen? So the Gemara says, Loi Nitzucha, no, even according to that opinion, it's coming to tell you, El Lefchas Nevela. Regarding the depreciation of the animal carcass, which the halacha is that any depreciation from the moment that his ox was gored by the other person's ox, the Nizik, in the moment it starts dying, it dies, it starts deteriorating, that loss up until the court case happens is the loss of the Nizik. So that's where it applies that the Nizik plays a role in Tashlumin Hauso, because even the Knas, which the Torah is meriting him, even that he doesn't get the whole thing. Even that Tashlumin, which you're right, he shouldn't get, but that is what he's getting, he plays a role in that Tashlumin that he doesn't get the whole Tashlumin, because the depreciation that the Nevela ends up getting, and he ends up not getting even what the Nevela was worth, that is the loss of the Nizik. And that's what the Nizik plays that role, even according to Man Doma, Palginizka Knasa. Now, that the Gemara asks, Pchas Nevela? Is that what the Halacha of a Mishnah is coming to teach regarding the depreciation of Nevela? Hatana Le Reisha, but we already learned this in the previous Mishnah, Dav Tesla Mebeis, that the Mishnah there said, Chavti B'Tashlumi Niske, something that I caused the damages, I am liable to pay for the damages. And on that, the Mishnah said, which Abrais elaborates, to pay Tashlumi Nezik, the payment of the damages, says Abrais. So what's that coming to teach? That it's only the Tashlumin of the Nezik, but it doesn't have to pay for the whole Nezik. What that comes to teach of that when someone has his ox scored by someone else's ox, he doesn't say, okay, give me a new ox. No, the owner has to be busy and take care of now the dead animal carcass, which the Gemara explains, that comes to teach what's that relevance, because the Mazik can pay up whatever he wants to pay up with carcasses, subin, whatever he wants to pay up with bran. So it's coming to teach regarding the depreciation of the Nevela, that value that it loses up until the court case when they finally pronounce a guilty verdict, that he only has to pay from the value that it was depreciated at the time of the death. But what is depreciated afterwards is the loss of the Nizik. So we already know this halacha from the Testament Beis. Why would that be said again here in the Mishnah, Daf Yudal Mabeis, according to Mandam, Apag Nizka Knasa, that's what it means, Hanizik B'Tashlumin, where we already know this halacha, Pchas Nevel the Nizik. So I think Maran says, yeah, we have to say it two times. Chad B'Tam, V'Chad B'Mu'ud. One by Asher Tam, the first few times, and one by Asher Mu'ud. Why? We have to say them both. Had we only said that the Nizik takes the loss by Tam, I would say because then his Shur wasn't a Shur Mu'ud yet, and therefore we shouldn't be so stringent on the Mazik to make him take the loss of the Pchas Nevela. When his ox already did a few times, and it's a Shur Mu'ud, maybe I would say that no, then Pchas Nevela is not the Nizik, and the Mazik has to then suffer the loss. That's what I have to say by Mu'ud too. And v'yesh min emud, had we only said it one time by mu'ud, I would say mishum nemukam ha'shalom kule. Why are we lenient on the mazik? Why do we make the nizik take the loss of the pchas nevela? Because already so stringent on the mazik already that he pays already nezik shalom. Aval tam eim aloi, but by tam when he's only paying chatzi nezik, maybe I would make him take the loss, the mazik, not just of the hezik, but also the pchas nevela, the depreciation after the nezik up until amad bedin. So therefore, tzricha, that's what we have to say, both cases, two times the allusion to this halacha, pachas nevel de nizik, once for tam, and once for mu'ud, to say that the depreciation of the nevela always is a loss of the nizik. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya to this machlokes of chatzi nezik is knas, or chatzi nezik is mamon. Toshima, let's bring a raya from a mishnah on tezayin mabez, on the next daf. The Mishnah says over there, Ma bin tam lemud. What's the difference between a sher tam and a sher mud? So the Mishnah explains, Shatam mishalom chatzi nezik megufay. Because a tam, the first few times when it damages another ox, it pays only half the damages. Moreover, it's only from the guf, from the animal itself. In other words, if let's say the animal that damaged a very expensive animal, and now the mazik has to pay half the damages of that animal, his shar, although it damaged that other one, it's not worth a lot. It's not even worth half the damages that was caused to that nizik to that animal that was gored. So the nizik has to suffer that loss. Because the pasuk in Shmos Chaf Aleph says regarding the shor tam, v'chatzu es kasboy, that they split the value of the shor hamazik that sold, and then it split between the mazik and the nizik again when it's of equal value. So we see that the chatzi nizik, not only is it only half the damages, it could only be collected from the shor hamazik itself. Whereas umu'id, but when it was a shor hamu'id, already did it a few times, and then it gores again, mishalom nizik shalom, so then the owner of that shor has to pay the whole amount of the damages. Moreover, min ha'aliyah, it has to be, if let's say the ox that gored the other one, and now there's a lot of damages, he has to pay for all the damages, is not worth that amount, then he has to even go take from his money in his bank, from his house, to go ahead and pay up for the damages that was done to the shor ha-nizik. So that's the difference between the shor tam and the shor mu'id. That has the Gemara, v'im isam. Now if the truth was like the man da'amah that chatzi nezik is knas, so listen, nami ha, so then we should have said also this difference, regarding the chatzi nezik of tam, that tam is a knas, and therefore ein mishal no piatzma. Like we said, according to Mandama, chatzi nezik knas, so it's a knas. Anytime you're moed be knas, you're pater. You wouldn't pay by your own admission. Whereas muid, when you did it about a few times, so then that's mumin. You have to pay for all the damages, and mishal no piatzma, and you pay by yourself. So that's another difference between tam and muid. If you hold chatzi nezik knas, why didn't you say that difference too? So the Gemara says that's not a difficulty. Ton of Ashire. Yes, it said differences between tam and mu'id, but it left over other differences. It wasn't exhaustive. So therefore, yes, another difference would be regarding if you pay by your own admission, because chatzi nezik is knas, whereas mu'id is mamon. Now the Gemara says, my shai, the high shai, like we know, whenever you leave over something from a list, you don't just leave over one thing. What else was left over to say that things were left out? So the Gemara says, shayir chatzi kaifer. What was left out, the difference between tam and mu'id, is regarding the death of a person. What the halacha is, when a shor hamu'id kills a person, so the owner of the shor has to pay kaifer, the amount of the value of the person, to the yershim of the one who is killed. Whereas a shor tam, who kills a person, even chatzi kaifer, even half of the value of that person who was killed, the owner of the ox doesn't pay. So that's another difference that was left out, where it could have said mu'id is kaifer, and shor tam doesn't pay even chatzi kaifer, and it doesn't mention that because again, shayer vashayer leaves over other cases. Now the Gemara, however, says, but that's not a raya to the mandama chatzi nezik knas, to say that you see things were left out. What else was left out? A, the case of knas, and other, the case of kaifer. The Gemara says, because imishim chatzi kaifer lav shayurhu. If regarding the case of kaifer, that's a difference between mu'id and tam, that wouldn't be considered being left over. Of course, Hamani says the Gemara, who is the Tana? It's Rabbi Yisak Lilihi. Dama that he says later on in Perek Sheshanogah Chazapar Nef Membeza Mad Aleph, Tam Mishalom Chatzi Kaifer, that actually a Tam does pay Chatzi Kaifer, never that wasn't a shear, it wasn't left out, because actually that's not a difference regarding the halachos of Kaifer, of Mu'ud and Tam, and therefore there was nothing left out, because you could say Chatzi Nezik is Mammon, and nothing was left out. Whereas again, according to Mandam Chatzi Nezik Knas, holds that Knas was left out, being about paying by yourself, and also regarding the halacha of Chatzi Kaifer. Now Rashi points out, even according to Mandam of Chatzi Nezik Mammon, who's saying that Kaifer is not left out because it's going like a basic lily, but seemingly there is a difference because by Mu'ud you pay Kaifer Shalom, the whole amount of the person that was killed. Whereas by Tam only pays Chatzi Kaifer, and that says Rashi, that wouldn't be considered a case that was left out as a difference because that's already included in the differential that we say in general regarding Tam and Mu'ud. That Mu'ud pays Nezik Shalom, and Tom pays Chatzi Nezik. So Kaifer would be included in that categorical differentiation. It's just regarding does it have Kaifer or not. That could have been said as what was left out. But then that the Gemara says, according to Mandama Chatzi Nezik Mammon, it wasn't left out because actually it goes like Rabbi Yisak Lili, who holds that Chatzi Nezik is going to be Chayiv on Kaifer by Tom, just like by Mu, it's going to be Chayiv Nezik Shalom of Kaifer. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya regarding this machlokes Toshima. Come in here, let's bring a raya from the Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas. The Mishnah says, as we continue on Tamid Beis, Hamis Shari es Plaini. If somebody comes to court and he admits, he says, look, my ox gored that person. Ay Shari shel Plaini, or he gored the ox of that person. Says the Mishnah, Hariz Mishal Ma Piatzmai. So he pays by his own admission. Says the Gemara, my lab betam, isn't it talking about, even though it was the first time his ox ever did that. And what the Mishnah Masechtas Ksubas is saying is that my ox gored that person, so therefore, I have to pay half of the kaifer for the death of that person, for the value of that person, because it's going like a basic lily. Or the case of my ox gored the ox of that person, where then I have to pay chatzi nezik. So you see that chatzi nezik is mammon because it was knas, and you wouldn't be paying based on your own admission. Someone says, lie, no, b'mu'ud. Actually, the case is talking about by a mu'ud when they already did a few times. There, everyone agrees that it's mammon, therefore you could pay al piatzmai. So the Gemara asks, avotamai. So what are you saying? But if it was the first time that it ever done it, then hachanami de misham al piatzmai. So what are you saying? That then he wouldn't be paying by himself because you're saying chatzi nezik is knas. Ask the Gemara, hiachi, but if that's the case, are the Tani Sefer, then instead of the end of that Mishnah saying, Hey Mishari is Abdishaplani, it says over there, however, in contrast, if let's say somebody says that my ox killed the slave of that person, which that is, according to everybody, a knas, because you pay 30 slum for the death of someone's slave, even if let's say that slave is only worth a dinner, says the Mishnah over there, Hey Mishalma Piyatzme, that you're not going to pay by yourself, because again, that's halacha moidib knas, when you admit to a halacha of knas, you're going to be potter. So that asks the Gemara, Liflig v'lisni b'didei, but let the Mishnah differentiate regarding what it mentioned in the Reisha itself. Regarding the case that you said that when you're going to pay al piatzmai, when you said that my ox killed the ox of that person, there you could have differentiated in that case itself. You should have said, when did we say that you're going to pay by yourself? Is when it's a shur hamu'id, al batam, but if it's a shur tam, ein mishalma piatzmai, then you're not going to pay by yourself, because again, you're saying chatzi nezek is going to be knasa, and that's why you're explaining that the ratio was tumah by a shor hamu'ud. So then say, instead of going to a different case and saying, oh, when are you not going to pay al biatzmai? When it's a knasa, let's say, killing that person's slave, say, no, even in that case itself, regarding killing that person's ox, if it was a shor tam, then you're not going to pay al biatzmai, because it's chatzi nezik is knas. So I think my answer is, kula b'mu'ud kamayri. That Mishnah Masechta Ksubos is talking about only cases of mu'ud, and it wants to find differentiations in a case when it is a shahamu'id, that when sometimes you're going to pay al piatzmai, and when sometimes you're not going to pay al piatzmai. And that's where it found it, that even when it's a shahamu'id, if it kills that person's slave, still it's considered a halacha of knas, because although it's a shahamu'id, which pays nezik shalom, but an eved in general doesn't have a halacha of payment, it's only worth a dinner, still you're paying 30 shalom, obviously because it's a knas. That's what we want to find, that still you're going to be exempt. But yes, of course, it could have said a case of shartam, that there also, if you're going to pay al piyatzma, you're going to be admitted, you're not going to pay, you're going to be exempt. They just wanted to say it in cases of shor hamu'ud. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya. Toshima, let's bring a raya from that Mishnah, Masechta Ksubos. It says over there, Zaklal. This is a general rule. After it says a case when you would pay by your own admission, when you wouldn't pay by your own admission. So the Mishnah there sums it up and says, Kol ha-mashalim yisam masha hizik, whoever pays more than what he damaged, for example, the 30 slum of an eved, because although that slave was worth just a dinner, the Torah says it doesn't make a difference. In all circumstances, you have to pay 30 slum, which is a penalty. That's not regular judgment in court of law. So says the Mishnah, in such a case, ein mashalim ha-piyatma, then you're not going to pay by your own admission, because that's a knas, and moed b'knas is potter. So says the Gemara, my love, isn't it coming to infer and say, but hapachas memash nezik? But let's say you're paying less than what you damage. For example, chatzi nezik of tam, where you damage $100 worth and you only pay $50 worth, that then mishalim, that then you do pay based on your own admission, because it's only saying what you pay more than what you damage that you don't pay on your own admission. But if it's less, like chatzi nezik, then you do pay based on your own admission, obviously because chatzi nezik is mammon, because if it's knas, you wouldn't pay based on your own admission, because might be knas is potter. So the Gemara says, Loi, you can't make such an inference. Hakamasha hizik. The inference is, it's only when you're paying more than what you damage. But the inference is, but if you're paying as you damage, in other words, like the case of nezik shalom of a mu'id, that's where you're going to be shalom, that's where you're going to pay based on your own admission. But it's not coming to exclude when it's less than how much you damage. But then the Gemara asks, so what are you saying? But if you're paying less than what you damage, you're right, that there also, you're not going to pay for what you damage, because it's chatzi nezik, it's knas, just like when you're paying for more than what you damage. It's only when you're paying for exactly what you damage, which that's mammon, that's regular monetary law. But that asks the Gemara, but then if that's the case, adetani, instead of the Mishnah, they're saying, zaklal, this is the rule. Whoever pays for more than what he damaged, doesn't pay based on his own admission. Why say that? Listen to Zaklal. The Mishnah should have said, this is the general rule. Whoever doesn't pay exactly as he damaged, which that wording would have told us, whether it be less or whether it be more, that then you're not going to pay based on your own admission. Why say only if it's more when that seems to be excluding when it's less? So the Gemara says, Tuyofta, that seems to be a refutation of the Manda Amar, Chatzin Nezik Knas, and obviously it's because that if you're paying for less than what you damage, that it's going to be that you're going to be Chayiv when you admit by yourself, because Chatzin Nezik is Mammon, and that's why you're going to be Chayiv when you're admitting by yourself. Now, however, the Gemara concludes, V'hilchasa Palka Nizka Knasa. Now, Halacha actually is, Chatzin Nezik of Karen of Shar Tam is actually a penalty. And therefore, if you admit by yourself, you're going to be Patur. Nothing more asked. You have a refutation from the Mishnah Masechet Ksubis on the Mandam Chatzin Nezik Knas, which seems to indicate Chatzin Nezik is Mammon, and then you say Halacha the other way around, and you say that Halacha is Chatzin Nezik is Knas. So the Gemara says, in, yes. Because Taimim might have a Tiyufta. Why did we think that it's a refutation from that Mishnah? As we had asked, because it doesn't say, as the damages is, that's when you're going to be Chayiv for your admission. And that says the Gemara, that's not a refutation. Why? Because loy psikale. It wasn't an absolute to allow the Mishnah there to say that the only time you're going to be chayv for your admission is kamasha hizik, if it's exactly as the damage is, which that would have told us that, but if it's less than what you damage, then you don't pay based on your own admission. Why not? Why can't you say that? That seems to be correct, because Chatzin Nezik is Knas, and if Chatzin Nezik is Knas, then you wouldn't pay based on your own admission, because Kivin Deke Chatzin Nezik Tzrai Reis, there is one exception that when you have the half of the damages that you're liable for when your animal's walking and it sprays pebbles as it's walking, with the halacha is you don't pay as much as the damages were, and still the halacha there would be that you would pay based on your own admission. Why? That's a halacha l'mayshem Sinai, that the chatzin nezik of tzreres, although it's not the amount that you damage, and usually that seems to indicate that it's a penalty, as this mandama, as we're passing halacha, is that says chatzin nezik is knas. Still, the halacha l'mayshem Sinai is that it's considered mammon by tzreres of regal. Now, mishamachi l'akitani, that's why we couldn't say the word in kamasha hizik. You're right, it's not just when it's more than what you damage. It's even when it's less than what you damage. If you admit it on your own, you're going to be pater, because chatzin nezik karen is actually knas, and moedba knas is pater. So why didn't we say a better terminology of kamasha hezek? Because we couldn't. Because there is one case of when it's less than what you damage, that if you actually did admit on your own, you would be chayiv, because it's mammon. Which case is that? That's chatzin nezik tzrayris, and that's what I have to say, only when yisim masha hezek, but really it's even sometimes pachas masha hezek. It's just we couldn't say that because of the aloch of tzrayris of regal. Maybe the Gemara concludes, Chatzin Nezik by Sher Tam of Karen is actually going to be a Knas. Never might be Knas as Potter in such a case. So the Gemara concludes, V'hashu de Amid Palgan is Knas. And now that the Gemara concluded, it says that the Loch of Chatzin Nezik is a Knas, it's a biblical penalty. So High Kalba de Ochel Imri, so regarding that a dog that eats a sheep, or B'shunru de Ochel Tarnagayla, or a cat that eats a chicken, Mishunahu, it's something that's not normal, it's not the norm, and therefore that makes it into a derivative of the mazik of Karen, and therefore pays Chatzin Nezik. But the halacha therefore is, v'lo megvin b'bavel. Therefore, we wouldn't be able to collect from the mazik in such cases in bavel. The reason being is because the halachas of dina knasis, which are biblical penalties, could only be collected with judges that are smuch and that are rabbinically ordained. And in Bavel, there is no smich, it's only in Eretz Yisrael. So if in Bavel, when there is a case of chatz of Karen, which is the case by these cases of where the dog's eating a sheep, which is not normal, makes it into Karen, it's Mishunah, which is the characteristic of Karen, in contrast to all the other ones, which are somewhat normal and to be expected, since it's halach of Karen, of Karen Tam, which is chatzin nezik, that is a knas, as we said, and therefore you can't collect those type of damages in Bavel, because you can't collect knasas in Bavel. Now, qualifies the Gemara, v'hani mili b'ravavi, but that's only if the dog or the cat eats up a large chicken or a large sheep, which that's not normal for a dog or a cat to kill such large animals. Av bezutri urchehu, but if it's a small chicken, a small animal, then it's normal for the dog and the cat to attack and eat such animals, and therefore, that's not considered mishunu, and therefore wouldn't be qualified as Karen, and therefore would be qualified, let's say, as Shane, which would allow us to collect it in Bavel. Now, moreover, qualifies the Gemara of Itafas. Even though we're saying that Chatzin Nezik Karen is Mishunah and it's a Knas, and if you can't collect it in Bavel, but if the Nizik, if the damaged party, although he's in Bavel, if he grabs money for the damages that were owed, that were made to him by the mazik, and he collects from the mazik on his own, he grabs it away. We don't take it away from him. We don't say, no, we don't collect, we make you give it back. If you already grabbed it, he could hold on to the amount that he was damaged if he took that money away from the mazik. Moreover, is V'i. Let's say the nizik doesn't grab away money from the mazik. But Amr, he says, Kavu li zimna daz lina la'ar di Yisrael. I want you, the courts here in Babel, to set aside a time for me when me and the mazik are going to go up to Eretz Yisrael, with you, they do judge Dina Knasis, so that we can finally litigate this court case, because his animal, although it was Karen, and it's Mishunah, and it's a Knas, I want him to pay me, and I can make him liable if we go up to the courts in Eretz Yisrael. So then conveniently, we set a date for him, which we make the mazik go up with him to Eretz Yisrael to adjudicate that court case. And the Eloi Oslo, if the mazik doesn't go, Misham Tinle, we excommunicate him, we put him in a ban for not going and litigating this case. Now, says the Gemara, moreover, Benkach or Benkach, and in either case, whether he goes or he doesn't go, Misham Tinle, either way, we put a ban on him to kill his dog and his cat, meaning Adam Esalik Ezek, until he gets rid of this damaging, this wild dog or cat, which did such crazy things that it's killing sheep and killing chickens, that he has to kill and neutralize these animals. Midr Ibn Nasan from the Halacha of Ibn Nasan. The Tanakh learned the Bryce of Nasan, I mean, he says, Minayin Shle Gadl Adam Kelav Rabbatech Basif. And where do we know that a person shouldn't bring up a bad dog in his house? Or Val Yamad Sulam Ru'u Batech Basif, he shouldn't have a shaky ladder in his house. Tamalama, the Pasuk teaches in Devarim, Lisasim Damim Bevesecha, you shouldn't put blood in your house. You shouldn't have something that's a liability in your property, and therefore, since he has this dog or cat which is causing damages, either way, we make him neutralize them because of the damages that they cause, as the Pasuk says, Lisasim Damim Bevesecha. Now the Gemara continues with the theme of the previous Mishnayis regarding the halachas of damages. So the Mishnah says, Chamisha Tamim Vechamisha Mu'adin. There are five types of damagers that are tam, which as we said, the first few times it only pays tchatzi nezik, and there's five types that are mu'adin, that are considered that they're ready, pre-warned, you know to expect it, and therefore the liability is going to be nezik shalom, as the Mishnah explains. Habehema ein mu'adis. An animal is not considered a mu'ad, meaning rather it's like a tam, so it's not considered a mu'ad loy ligach, not to gore with its horns, loy ligaif, not to push with its body. And all these five that we're counting are derivatives of the mazik of Karen, and therefore they pay chatzin nezik, and these are what we're calling the five tamen. V'loi lashach, not to bite, and again, with intention of harming, not to eat. V'loi livret, not to squat on something, to sit on it. And v'loi livret, and not to kick. So those are the five tamen. Now, whereas hashein, regarding the teeth, meaning the act of eating of an animal, is mu'edis lachalas arola, it is considered mu'ed to consume that which is fit for it. I mean, it's very normal for an animal to want to eat food that it sees laying there. Haregel, the act of causing damage as it's walking, is mu'edis lishba b'derech halucha, is normal and it's considered mu'ed, nezik shalom, to break something as it's walking. Vishar hamu'ed, and also a shar hamu'ed, meaning in other words, if an animal did three times those things of Karen that we mentioned that are tam, to gore with its horns, or with its body, or to lay on something, or to kick something, or to bite, those are five types of mu'adin, that at that point, if they did it already three times, they're going to pay nezik shalom. Now, regarding what we're calling the shar hamu'ed, they're considered one, because it's through the testimony of witnesses, that which then brought them to a liability of nezik shalom, so it's counted as one, because essentially it's one characteristic of edim testifying that they did this already three times. Now, although it was Karen and it was Shert Tam, it was only Chatzit Nezik, now it's Nezik Shalom. That's the third category of now being considered a Mu'ad. And the fourth one is Beshur HaMazik Beshur HaNizik, when a damaging ox damages in the domain of the Nizik, so therefore even Karen Tam, which is usually Chatzit Nezik, is going to be considered as a Mu'ad to pay Nezik Shalom if it's being done in the domain of the Nizik. And V'ha'adam, and a person, if a person damages, he pays all the damages, nezik shalom, those are the five. Now, as Rashi points out, we're talking about things that are living things, an animal, a human being, and that's why we don't count the other mazikim, which are also mu'adim mitchalasim, of a bar and eish, because they're not living things. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask, why didn't it count the next things mentioned in the Mishnah, which are also mu'adim mitchalasim, they're also liable for nezik shalom right away, why weren't they counted in these five things that are mu'adim? Which the Mishnah continues and says, Hazeev, the wolf, Vari, the lion, Vahadoiv, the bear, Vahnomer, and the leopard, Vahbardless, which the Gemara is going to explain what that is, Vahnochash, and the snake, Hare Elu Mu'adin, these are always in the beginning even considered a mu'ud. In other words, as Rashi points out, even when they bite, which is generally considered keren, which is tam and chatzi nezek, here for all damages that these animals do, they're to be expected. And therefore, the owners have to pay nezek shalom no matter what type of damage they cause. Now, Rabbi Lazo, he says, Bizman shehin b'nei tarbus. However, at the time when these animals are domesticated, in other words, if they were brought up in a person's house and they're trained, then in mu'adan, then they're not a mu'ad mitchilasai, just like a shar that's not expected right away to cause damage, and it won't have the halacha of mu'ad from the beginning. Now, v'anochesh mu'ad la'ilam, but a snake is always considered mu'ad to cause damage, as it does, as it bites and puts poison to something, that's always considered a mu'ad. Now, the Gemara asked the following question. When it spoke about the five different mu'adim, so it said the first one that it counted was the shein that is considered mu'ad to eat, an animal to eat something, a produce of another person, that you pay nezek shalom, it's to be expected, it's considered mu'ad. Says the Gemara, machlal de b'chatz ha'nizik haskinah. So obviously the cases that we're discussing over there of mu'adim are talking about that it's in the rishus of the nizik, as we said, because the mazik of shein and regal are only b'shus ha'nizik. If it's in Rishus HaRabim, meaning if it's not the Nizik's domain, for sure not the Mazik's domain, you're not Chayib. And Rishus HaRabim, in contrast, let's say to Karen, Shein and Regal are going to be exempt. It's only Bir B'Stei Acher, Rishus HaNizik. So obviously we're talking about a case of Shein being Chayib, it's talking about in the domain of the Nizik. And V'Katani, and we said, Behema Einu Mu'edes, but an animal is not considered Mu'ed. In other words, not to gore, and not to push with its body. In other words, all the five cases that we said of Tam, which are cases of Karen, we said that then it's not going to be a mu'ed, meaning l'shalom kule, to pay the whole damages, aval, chatzi nezik mishalemes, but the inference is, but half the damages it will have to pay. So obviously we see from the Tana of this Mishnah that Karen, even b'chatzi ha'nizik, will only pay chatzi nezik. Because obviously, as you see from the case of the Mishnah, we're talking about chatzi ha'nizik. So it's only Shein that pays nezik shalom. But the five cases of Karen will only pay chatzi nezik. Mani, so the Gemara says, who is obviously the Tana of Mishnah? Rabbanah, he's like Rabbanah. The Amri that they say, Mishun the Karen, when you have Karen, which is not normal, meaning the first few times, which is Tam, even if it's B'chatzah Nizig in the domain of the Nizig, Chatzah Nizig with the Mishnah, you only pay half the damages. Now that is the Gemara, but Amos Seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. Mishnah, when it's counting the five Mu'adin, says, Sher HaMu'ad. One case is that you'll be considered mu'ud, is even though originally the first few times you were not, but when you already did it three times, you're sher ha-mu'ud to pay nezik shalom. And v'sher ha-mazik b'shus ha-nizik, and a damaging ox, even obviously the first few times, if it's in the v'shus ha-nizik, it's considered like a mu'ud to pay nezik shalom. Va'adam, and a person, we said, is always considered a mu'ud to pay nezik shalom. As the Gemara saw in the Reb Tarfon, that's like Reb Tarfon. The Amma that he says, m'shun ha-keren, when you have even Karen Tam, which is not normal, but if it's B'chatzah Nizik, if it's in the Nizik's domain, Nezik Shalom, who the Mishami pays all the damages, as the Gemara, Reish Rabban, the Mesev Reb Tarfon. So the beginning of the Mishnah, when it's talking about the five types of Karen Tam, it only pays Chatzin Nezik, even though obviously we said it's talking about in the Chatzin Nezik, that it pays Chatzin Nezik like the Rabbanan. But Mesev Reb Tarfon, at the end of the Mishnah, when it's talking about the five types of Mu'adin, is obviously like Reb Tarfon, because it's saying that even if it's a Karen Tam, B'chatzah Nezik will pay Nezik Shalom. So the Gemara says, and yes, the Amalei Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda, like Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehuda, as we referenced this same type of concept earlier, where the Gemara had referenced this, from this Mishnah to a different halacha, that Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinin, a sharp one, Shvaik Masnitin, stop trying to make the Mishnah like one Tana, V'sa Basroi, and come after me, who I say, Reish Rabbanan, B'sev Reb Tarfon. You're right, the Tana was saying, halachas, and at one halacha, when he wanted to point out, he was saying according to one Tana, which the Reisha was like the Rabbanan, and the Sefer, when he's saying seemingly same halachas, but then saying contrast between Tam and Mu'ud, then he was going like a different Tana, like Reb Tarfon, to say that Karen Tam, B'chatzah Nizik, is going to be Nezik Shalom, and therefore, yes, there's no way to resolve it according to one Tana. And that's similar like we had previously, which the Gemara had said the same thing, where it was challenging that it sounded like, on the one hand, the Rabban, and the other, Reb Tarfon. And the Gemara said, referencing this halacha, that the same thing is, that yes, it's actually Reb Shimon Elazar, who was saying four klalim, on the one hand was saying like the Rabban, and on the other hand was saying like Reb Tarfon.